This is West Virginia Morning on West Virginia Public Radio. I'm Beth Voorhees. Last night, hundreds of people crowded into a tight assembly hall at Jackson's Mill to attend a public forum hosted by CONSOL Energy. Though many people went anticipating a presentation, energy company representatives instead spoke to people one-on-one to answer their questions about CONSOL's new plans for gas development in the county. Roxy Todd filed this report.
This is the Marcellus Shale. So this is a piece of Marcellus Shale from Central Lewis County.
Craig Edmonds is a geologist for CONSOL. In his hand, he holds a dense gray rock that came from about 7,000 feet beneath the surface of Lewis County. He's standing beside a map, which shows CONSOL's future plans to drill for natural gas using hydraulic fracturing. Just outside the building, a line of about 200 people wait their turn to talk to CONSOL. Many of them own land or royalties in Lewis County. Jackie Smith is one of them.
We need gas, so therefore we don't have to depend on other countries. Jobs, and we do definitely need jobs in Lewis County.
Exactly how many new well pads is CONSOL planning to build, and where will they be? That is the question almost everyone here is asking, no matter which side of the issue they stand. Barbara Volk is a horse podiatrist, and she has a small farm in Camden. She heard tonight that CONSOL would like to eventually build a well pad along Churchville Road, about 4.5 miles from her farm. That well pad would be along the same creek that her horses drink from. She's worried that if this water becomes polluted, she won't have another supply of water for her farm.
And as a surface owner, I feel we are bulldozed. We are treated like we don't exist, and nobody cares. I did actually speak with someone, and he assured me that everything is going to be according to EPA regulations and that the environment will be protected and the water will be protected. But frankly, from what I have seen in Doddridge County and surrounding areas, I don't believe that's going to be the case.
My name is Jeremy Jones. I'm with CONSOL Energy. I'm the asset manager for the Southern Marcellus region. To date, we have had no impact on any of these Marcellus well site locations that showed that we have reduced the quality of the drinking water in the area. The main thing that we do as far as a water protection standpoint is do pre- and post-drill surveys of water quality analysis within a 2,500-foot radius of our Marcellus well pads.
Jones says that within the next year, CONSOL plans to build at least 2 to 3 new well pads. One of those is nearly finished, and the company plans to begin drilling next January.
Driving out here this evening to Jackson's Mill, you'll see several water truck and service companies that are rebounding from the activity that's already occurring. Marcellus Shale Coalition states that one well will create up to 450 jobs throughout 150 disciplines per well.
Those jobs, however, will only last for a short period of time, mostly during the construction of well pads. Alan Shaw says he's not convinced that energy companies like CONSOL will even employ many local people.
They tell you about all the jobs that they're bringing here and all. I've almost been run over several times in the middle of the road by trucks from Texas, trucks from Oklahoma, trucks from Florida. They're not giving these jobs to these people. They're not even changing their tags. Probably not even paying taxes here.
Shaw lives in Camden, in one of the areas that could see new drilling in the next few years. He says he came to this meeting to talk about his concerns, but there was not an opportunity for public comment. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Roxy Todd in Jane Lieu.
This is West Virginia Morning at 7:37. Some fog this morning, becoming partly cloudy today, temperatures in the 60s and 70s, fog overnight with lows in the 40s and 50s, mostly sunny on Thursday and Friday, with temperatures remaining in the 60s and 70s.
Support for West Virginia Public Radio is provided by Goodwill Industries of the Kanawha Valley. You donate, we train, lives change. More information at goodwillkv.com. Support for NPR comes from CarMax, offering more than 35,000 used cars and trucks, online and in stores from coast to coast. Learn more at CarMax.com.
A Hare Krishna community in rural Marshall County that's been around for almost 50 years is trying to reinvent itself and its relationship with area residents. The New Vrindavan community almost didn't survive a scandal in the 1990s that sent many of its leaders to prison. Last weekend, Glennis Board visited one of the community's biggest festivals of the year to see how things are going these days.
Hare Krishna!
Hundreds of visitors mingled with Hare Krishna devotees at this year's annual Festival of Colors. Pouches of bright pink, purple, blue, or green dust came with a $30 price of admission. Festival goers threw it into the air, and it hung in clouds over the crowds, painting everyone head to toe in vibrant palettes. New Vrindavan's ornate Palace of Gold is an island of Indian culture in remote, rural West Virginia. There are rose gardens, flocks of peacocks, ponds with towering dancing deities. With 30,000 annual visitors, it's one of the largest tourist attractions in the state. Jaya Krishna is the president of the New Vrindavan community.
And my goal is really that we open ourselves and we connect to the neighbors and we are good neighbors in all perspectives.
That wasn't always the perception. In the early 90s, allegations of murder, fraud, and child abuse ended with several community leaders incarcerated. Many people who lived in the area through the 80s and 90s still cringe at the memory. Most of the then 700 devotees moved away. Today, the community is made up of about 200 people. Some of them have been there from the beginning. Some are from the international Krishna community, and a small group is new. The new president of the community, Jaya Krishna, is originally from Switzerland. The Krishnas recruited him 3 years ago to help revive New Vrindavan.
They have a plan over 7 years to bring us back six different phases. Now we are in phase number four, it's stabilization. I have a complete new crew of leadership. So I am trying to stabilize now the situation and move forward. At the same time, the community needs also a lot of healing, that we can forget the past and really look into the future and actually unlock the potential we have, you know.
Sure. One of his first goals was to move the community toward self-sufficiency, living simply off the land. That ideal is part of West Virginia's heritage, too. Jaya even found and hired a local farmer, Casey Orr, to help achieve the goal.
The whole idea behind the religion is self-sufficiency. So that's the long-term goal. We're looking at about 5 years to full seasonal self-sufficiency, but it is completely doable with the resources we have.
Orr's involvement furthers another of Jaya's goals, to be more engaged with the surrounding community. Orr works with other local farmers, as well as staff and volunteers from outside New Vrindavan. During the Festival of Colors, Orr was passing out sweet potato fries made from potatoes she grew on the property and carting around flowers from one of her on-site gardens. She found her way to New Vrindavan through garden paths, but not many other area residents have that kind of connection to the community. In nearby Wheeling, the annual Sternwheel Festival was going on at the same time as the Festival of Colors. Area resident Alan Cox says he couldn't feel further away from the Krishna community.
We don't see them around town, so I really don't have an impression on them right now. I drive by the place every day, but don't see them, so they're not really in my thoughts.
Marshall County resident Matt Taylor, who was also at the Wheeling Festival, says he remembers growing up with youth from the community.
I think when they first brought the Krishnas into the public schools, I mean, people were kind of a little, I guess, unnerved about, they didn't know how they were going to react, if they were going to, you know, come in wearing their traditional, you know, outfit. I mean, they came into school, they looked like all of us, and no big deal, you know, friends with them, played football with them.
Taylor says he doesn't harbor any animosity toward the Krishnas, but he admits there's still some tension.
I think the apprehension between, like, the community is just the fact that they're different.
Back up in the hills today, new generations in both communities are getting acquainted.
I'm a high school student from John Marshall.
This is Owen Miner's second year attending the Festival of Colors.
And this is a nice festival. Everybody's all happy. Everybody's, kind. It's just music playing and a lot of, good energy and stuff.
We are having more and more Westerners, people around us who are coming to visit, from Mountsville, from Wheeling, from Sinclairsville, from Pittsburgh, whatever.
Again, new Vrindavan president, Jaya Krishna.
Who are just interested to come and see what we are doing here. Mm-hmm. What is our goal of life? How do we live? How do we worship the Lord? What is our faith? How do we do that? And mm-hmm. why do we do different things? So it's an interesting place to learn about another culture.
Jaya Krishna says in the late 60s, the community at New Vrindavan got a set of instructions from the founder of the Krishna faith. They are to protect cows, strive to be self-sufficient, develop a love of God, become a place of pilgrimage, and a place of spiritual training for all kinds of people. He thinks his community of 200 is walking, mindfully, in the right direction. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Glynis Board in New Vrindavan.
Nestled near the West Fork River in Weston, the imposing stone structure of the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum will be the scene this weekend for the world premiere of a play focused on the life and work of Edgar Allan Poe. As Sarah Lowther Hensley reports, the playwright sees the unique location, Poe's tragic life story, and the enduring characters he created as a perfect match.
Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered, weak and weary, over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore. While I nodded, nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping, as of someone gently rapping at my chamber door.
The Raven is perhaps one of Edgar Allan Poe's most well-known works, and it will absolutely play a role in the new one-man show, Poe, A Haunted Life. Joey Medea, artistic director and resident playwright for Seven Stories Theater Company, based in north central West Virginia, has written and will perform the show. He sees Poe's work as groundbreaking in a number of ways.
He really certainly refined, if not invented, then refined the short story and exactly what it should be. He invented the detective novel, and I love Sherlock Holmes, and his character, C. Auguste Dupin, was the model of Holmes, from the pipe to the intellect to the quirkiness to the housemate writing the stories. I mean, there would have been no Sherlock Holmes without Poe. And I think modern horror stories, so Stephen King, Clive Barker, the list goes on and on. He was really the genesis of all of it.
Medea is a longtime fan of Poe's work, but says he gained new insights during his research for the play. Poe was quite the researcher himself, says Medea, often taking some of the ideas for his stories right out of the newspaper. He says despite some bouts of drunkenness, Poe did not use alcohol to the degree often thought, and did not use drugs, as commonly assumed.
And I think far from being a madman, having been a writer now, a professional writer for going on two decades, you cannot be insane out of your mind and create stories with the precision and the structure and the character development of his stories. So those were the big things that I learned.
Medea has been working closely with director Robbie Justice. The two have been rehearsing and tweaking the script for several months. Justice says he's gained a new appreciation for all things Poe.
I read a lot in high school, like everyone. I read a lot in middle school of all the classic Poe, but I had never really studied it and really looked into the different characters and the different themes within the stories and how just complex and rich they really were.
The show, which runs just under an hour, includes a number of those complex themes and characters. So why do it as a one-man show? Medea says it makes perfect sense.
All of these characters came out of the mind of one man. And somewhere along in the writing process, I went from Poe hosting the show and exploring his own characters to the show being hosted by C. Auguste Dupin, the detective.
Currently, Saturday night's performance is the only one scheduled, although Medea plans to offer it in other venues down the road. He also plans to create versions of it that could be done in school classrooms, offering opportunities for students to interact with Poe and his work. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Sarah Lowther Hensley.
A Haunted Life will be presented Saturday, September 20th at the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum in Weston. Tickets include a reception and a tour of the facility prior to the performance. Check-in is at 4:30, the tour is at 5, and the show starts at 6. You can find more information on our website, wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.